We're not going to read the very long gospel today, so if you want to remain standing, please feel free to do whichever you wish. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you,
O Lord. It's on page 875. From John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Some Greeks wished to see Jesus. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Heavenly Father, we're out of our depth this morning. Help us as we hear these amazing events in Jesus' life to understand them, and by your Spirit to make them our own, for his glory's sake. Amen. As a teenager, I was a film addict. We didn't have a television until I was about 17, I think, 18. So I used to go to the cinema a great deal, to the consternation of various parts of the family. And I was all keyed up for the first CinemaScope film in 1952 or so, with Richard Burton and Gene Simmons as the stars. And it's called The Robe, and it was about the events of the Passion, really, the robe of Jesus. Richard Burton was a tribune, and he was posted as far away as possible by Caligula for insulting him to take charge of the garrison in Jerusalem. And he arrived with a party of soldiers all geared up with spears and so on. Suitable Roman Hollywood music. And then suddenly the music goes all sort of heavenly and ethereal, and those people rather much used in Disney films, were singing Sopranos in the Sky. And that was the signal. The camera panned over to this rather raggedy sort of procession of somebody on a donkey, not a horse, coming down the hill into Jerusalem, and everybody waving palms of at least that size. All very exciting. And Burton, as the new incoming tribune, says to his number two, "What's all this about?" And the man says, "Oh, well, there's some tradition that the Messiah will come." "What's a Messiah?" "Well, he's a king." "Oh, but nobody knows when he's coming. Perhaps that's him." And it was. Jan and I were in Leicester a week or two ago, and we walked up the hill into the city centre, past the remains of the Roman baths. They're still quite extensive, a bit ruined now. You wouldn't go for a morning dip there, but it just shows how enormous the Roman Empire was and what sphere of influence and power they had, even in Leicester. That's for you to ponder. Leicester's a good place and pioneering things now. Who would have guessed in Jerusalem at that time, with all the might of the Roman Empire very visible, that actually it was the little procession of a man riding on a donkey that was the more powerful, that was going to topple that empire and radically change it? And here we are this morning with our palms in our hands, 2,000 years after the event, as will be Christians all over the world. All over the world. Billions of us. So which is the greater power? Jan and I get great encouragement from something you can get online through Church Mission Society, which is up-to-date news of what's happening in different parts of the world. And I was very much caught by a little snippet from John and Kathy Rutter, who are in southern Sudan. At least they were. Let me just tell you what they said. As most of you will know, until the 23rd of January, we were scheduled to go out to Kajo Keji Christian College in that diocese in southern Sudan to teach and to do admin. But at that point, the violence, which until then hadn't penetrated into the area, broke in. The college had to close, and staff and students dispersed. To their great credit, less than a month later, the 21st of February, when we flew out, we went to Uganda, where they had relocated the college, just in fact 20 miles away from where they were, but in another country in Uganda. They'd found accommodation in an abandoned orphanage and started the complicated process of rebuilding their community in very different circumstances. We want to tell you about the Reverend Stephen, one of the diocesan staff. He's full of joy and always smiling and laughing, a great gift in these difficult times for them all. One of the issues in the Sudan situation is that people struggling in the camps find the goods very much more expensive in Uganda than they were. So there's a double pressure when money is in very short supply. Stephen, with a chuckle, told us a story of a man in the camp who was walking past an impromptu primary school where the teacher was saying, "What does 1 + 1 equal?" And one bright pupil said, 4. So the fellow went past and thought, got that wrong. No, he didn't. He rushed back to his friends and he said, "Even 1 + 1 is more in Uganda." But what a gift that is. Just about as dire a situation as you could have in southern Sudan. So many hopes dashed, so little food, such high prices, families displaced, whole college moved to another country. And yet there was somebody who found joy in simple things, and who communicated that joy with his laughter. That's the good news of Christ. That's the good news for our world today. We've had a scary week, haven't we? Well, scary month. The world is just really like paper that could be ignited. And where will it go? President Trump has made a very difficult decision and must now live with the consequences, and so must we all. President King, whatever he is, Hong in Korea is making disastrous decisions while his people largely starve. What are the consequences of that? Jesus made a decision on Palm Sunday. Well, he didn't make it on Palm Sunday. He'd made it with God in his lonely prayer times with the scriptures in front of him. He decided what we heard about in the first reading. Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. Jesus made the decision of suffering, of self-forgetfulness, of truth, and stood by it until he gasped his last, only 5 days later, on the cross. But it was a decision, and it was an action of the deepest love the world has ever seen. And it is vibrantly alive in our world 2,000 years on, changing lives, helping people in intolerable situations to live, to believe, to trust, just to live, and to pass on their faith. By comparison, our next few weeks seem sort of almost trivial. But they're not. We've decided to change the patterns of our worship. But let's do so with that same deep trust in God that Jesus had, with the joy of Reverend Stephen, with self-forgetfulness for the good of us all. God is giving us wonderful leadership in Gavin, I believe. New things are happening amongst us. When we had the survey, 140 people bothered to write down what they thought. And Gavin assured us that this is an experimental time, and if some things don't work, then we'll put them right. But it's not individually for you and me. That's not Jesus' way. It's for us all, and for those for whom we exist who as yet have not come. This service is safe, but it must still be welcoming and full of the Lord, full of the love we've learned over many, many years. But it's got to be vibrant. It can't be museum-ish. And so we'll have to let go of some things, just as Jesus, in the end, for us, let go of everything and hung naked on a cross for God's sake and for ours. Let's pray. Father, here we are, your worthless instruments. Sometimes we feel great and ready to conquer the world with your help. Sometimes we feel crippled by our own selfishness and pride and greed. But we're your servants. You can change us and use us. We pray you will do this for your glory's sake. Amen.